When will they arrive? Within the next 5 years, Ender. Everything is ready at IF Command. The Master Ansible is there, in contact with all our invasion fleet. The ships are all working, ready to fight. All we lack, Ender, is the battle commander, someone who knows what the hell to do with those ships when they get there. And what if no one knows what to do with them? We'll just do our best, with the best commander we can get. Me, thought Ender. They want me to be ready in 5 years. Colonel Graff, there isn't the chance I'll be ready to command the fleet in time. Graff shrugged. So, do your best. If you aren't ready, we'll make do with what we've got. That eased Ender's mind, but only for a moment. Of course, Ender, what we've got right now is nobody. Ender knew that this was another of Graff's games. Make me believe that it all depends on me, so I can't slack off, so I push myself as hard as possible. Game or not, though, it might also be true, and so he would work as hard as possible. It was what Val had wanted of him. 5 years. Only 5 years until the fleet arrives, and I don't know anything yet. I'll only be 15 in 5 years, Ender said. Going on 16, said Graff. It all depends on what you know. Colonel Graff, he said, I just want to go back and swim in the lake. After we win the war, said Graff, or lose it, we'll have a few decades before they get back here to finish us off. The house will be there, and I promise you can swim to your heart's content. But I'll still be too young for security clearance. Oh, it'll keep you under armed guard at all times. The military knows how to handle these things. They both laughed. And Ender had to remind himself that Graff was only acting like a friend, that everything he did was a lie or a cheat calculated to turn Ender into an efficient fighting machine. I'll become exactly the tool you want me to be, said Ender silently, but at least I won't be fooled into it. I'll do it because I choose to, not because you tricked me, you sly bastard. The tug reached Eros before they could see it. The captain showed them the visual scan, then superimposed the heat scan on the same screen. They were practically on top of it, only 4,000 kilometers out, but Eros, only 24 kilometers long, was invisible if it didn't shine with reflected sunlight. The captain docked the ship on one of the three landing platforms that circled Eros. It could not land directly because Eros had enhanced gravity, and the tug, designed for towing cargoes, could never escape the gravity well. He bade them an irritable goodbye, but Ender and Graff remained cheerful. The captain was bitter at having to leave his tug. Ender and Graff felt like prisoners finally paroled from jail. When they boarded the shuttle that would take them to the surface of Eros, they repeated perverse misquotations of lines from the videos that the captain had endlessly watched and laughed like madmen. The captain grew surly and withdrew by pretending to go to sleep. Then, almost as an afterthought, Ender asked Graff one last question. Why are we fighting the buggers?
I've heard all kinds of reasons, said Graff. Because they have an overcrowded system and they've got to colonize. Because they can't stand the thought of other intelligent life in the universe. Because they don't think we are intelligent life. Because they have some weird religion. Because they watched our old video broadcast and decided we were hopelessly violent. All kinds of reasons.
What do you believe?
It doesn't matter what I believe.
I want to know anyway.
They must talk to each other directly, Ender, mind to mind. What one thinks, another can also think. What one remembers, another can also remember. Why would they ever develop language? Why would they ever learn to read and write? How would they know what reading and writing were if they saw them, or signals, or numbers, or anything that we use to communicate? This isn't just a matter of translating from one language to another. They don't have a language at all. We used every means we could think of to communicate with them, but they don't even have the machinery to know we're signaling. And maybe they've been trying to think to us, and they can't understand why we don't respond.
So the whole war is because we can't talk to each other?
If the other fellow can't tell you his story, you can never be sure he isn't trying to kill you.
What if we just left them alone?
Ender. We didn't go to them first. They came to us. If they were going to leave us alone, they could have done it 100 years ago, before the first invasion. Maybe they didn't know we were intelligent life. Maybe, Ender, believe me. There's a century of discussion on this very subject. Nobody knows the answer. When it comes down to it, though, the real decision is inevitable. If one of us has to be destroyed, let's make damn sure we're the ones alive at the end. Our genes won't let us decide any other way. Nature can't evolve a species that hasn't a will to survive. Individuals might be bred to sacrifice themselves, but the race as a whole can never decide to cease to exist. So, if we can, we'll kill every last one of the buggers. And if they can, they'll kill every last one of us. As for me, said Ender, I'm in favor of surviving. I know, said Graf. That's why you're here.
Took your time, didn't you, Graf? The voyage isn't short, but the 3-month vacation seems excessive.
I prefer not to deliver damaged merchandise.
Some men simply have no sense of hurry. Oh well, it's only the fate of the world, never mind me. You must understand our anxiety. We're here with the Ansible, receiving constant reports of the progress of our starships. We have to face the coming war every day, if you can call them days. He's such a very little boy.
There's a greatness in him, a magnitude of spirit.
A killer instinct, too, I hope.
Yes.
Now, we've planned out an impromptu course of study for him, all subject to your approval, of course.
I'll look at it. I don't pretend to know the subject matter, Admiral Shemraj Nagar. I'm only here because I know Ender. So don't be afraid that I'll try to second-guess the order of your presentation. Only the pace.
How much can we tell him?
Don't waste his time on the physics of interstellar travel.
Now, what about the Ansible?
I already told him about that, and the fleets. I said they would arrive at their destination within 5 years.
It seems there's very little left for us to tell him.
You can tell him about the weapon systems. He has to know enough to make intelligent decisions.
Ah, we can be useful after all. How very kind. We've devoted one of the 5 simulators to his exclusive use.
What about the others?
The other simulators?
The other children.
You were brought here to take care of Ender Wiggin.
Just curious. Remember, they were all my students at one time or another.
And now they are all mine. They are entering into the mysteries of the fleet, Colonel Graf, to which you, as a soldier, have never been introduced.
You make it sound like a priesthood.
And a god, and a religion. Even those of us who command by Ansible know the majesty of flight among the stars. I can see you find my mysticism distasteful. I assure you that your distaste only reveals your ignorance. Soon enough, Ender Wiggin will also know what I know. He will dance the graceful ghost dance through the stars, and whatever greatness there is within him will be unlocked, revealed, set forth before the universe for all to see. You have the soul of a stone, Colonel Graf, but I sing to a stone as easily as to another singer. You may go to your quarters and establish yourself.
I have nothing to establish except the clothing I am wearing.
You own nothing?
They keep my salary in an account somewhere on Earth. I've never needed it, except to buy civilian clothes on my vacation.
A non-materialist, and yet you are unpleasantly fat. A gluttonous ascetic? Such a contradiction.
When I'm tense, I eat. Whereas when you're tense, you spout solid waste.
I like you, Colonel Graf. I think we shall get along.
I don't much care, Admiral Shemraj Nagar. I came here for Ender. And neither of us came here for you.
Ender hated Eros from the moment he shuttled down from the tug. He had been uncomfortable enough on Earth, where floors were flat. Eros was hopeless. It was a roughly spindle-shaped rock, only 6.5 kilometers thick at its narrowest point. Since the surface of the planetoid was entirely devoted to absorbing sunlight and converting it to energy, everyone lived in the smooth-walled rooms linked by tunnels that laced the interior of the asteroid. The closed-in space was no problem for Ender. What bothered him was that all the tunnel floors noticeably sloped downward.